Thomas Dunn, Narrator.
A Salty Piece of Land by Jimmy Buffett. It all simply comes down to good guys and bad guys. As a kid, I wanted to be like Roy Rogers, the good guy cowboy of all time. Roy and his horse Trigger would go riding through the movies, helping those in peril while never seeming to sweat, get a scratch, or wrinkle a pair of perfectly creased blue jeans. When the day was over, they would join the Sons of Pioneers by the campfire and sing the sun to sleep. Now that's what I call the perfect job. One day, long ago, in another place and another time, I was playing out my fantasy of being Roy with childhood pals in the rolling hills above Hardike, Wyoming, where I was raised. We were racing our horses, bat out of hell style, through the aspen grove that led to our little ranch. Like a true daredevil, I passed my friends in a wild sprint to the finish line, and once I had the lead, I turned around to admire my move as leader of the pack. The next thing I remember was waking up on the ground, my head covered with blood, my left arm pointing in the wrong direction, and pain, lots of pain shooting through my young body. That's when I knew that life wasn't a movie. This is from Murder by Limbeck by Richard Ciccarelli. Harvey Limbeck was tired of being intimidated and humiliated by Mr. Martin, his boss, so one Friday, Harvey shot him. It was really quite easy. Harvey had decided on this drastic course of action after an especially unpleasant Tuesday. Everything he did that day was wrong in Mr. Martin's eyes. His figures on the Conti account were wrong. His check of the Bensonhurst work was late. His handwriting on the Waters case was illegible. This haranguing would almost have been tolerable if Tuesday hadn't been the 10th anniversary of Harvey's joining the firm. Did he get a congratulations? Did he get a thank you for 10 years of loyal service? Did he even get a hello? No. All he got was insulted and degraded. That's when the timid Harvey Limbeck decided to fight back. That's when he decided to kill his boss. The plan came to Harvey easily, almost too easily. As if, subconsciously, it had been taking shape for a long time. The charge of the 4th Australian Light Horse Brigade at Beersheba, October 31, 1917. Every man aligned on this fateful battlefield knew that this would be his final charge and his finest hour. They were determined to make sure it was one that would be remembered for years to come. As described by Lieutenant Colonel R.M.P. Preston, it was growing dark and the enemy trenches were outlined in fire by the flashes of their rifles. Beyond, and a little above them, blazed the bigger, deeper flashes of their field guns, and our own shells burst like a row of red stars over the Turkish positions. In front, our long lines of cavalry swept forward at racing speed, half obscured in clouds of reddish dust. Amid the deafening noise all around, they seemed to move silently, like some splendid, swift machine. Over the Turks they went, leaping the two lines of deep trenches, and dismounting on the further side, flung themselves into the trenches with bayonets.